How's it? Good morning. Otherwise, you well? It's so funny. I went to lunch yesterday with James and Janine, and we were talking about how, like, South Africans, that's a totally unique, not just South African, but very Joburg thing, that otherwise you well.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You tell straight away if someone's from, like, Joburg, otherwise you well. Okay, yeah, great, thanks. How are you, Ass?
The fine, how are you?
Fine, are you? You good?
Yeah, all good.
Excellent.
Preparing for the snow on Monday. Apparently we're having snow in Gauteng.
Wow. Okay, now you've got a different weather report to me, but I did see it was going to be really cold, like 4-degree minimums, but, you know, there's always that one mean, cold, nasty snap right at the end of winter. And if this is the last one, hey, that's not bad. I don't mind it. August usually has one of those. And isn't it always like the strange phenomenon, and maybe it's not so strange if you are a weather expert, but isn't it usually in August or September that on the rare occasion we have snow?
I've been told by people who have time to invest their time in the weather that snow has been forecast for Gauteng on Monday.
I'll take your word for it. You're the boss of this. I'm not going to argue. I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing with you.
I'm not owning it.
You know, you remember, like, every time I'd do something like that, Thabo Modisane, the executive producer, would say, "Don't fight with me. I'm not fighting with you." So that's where that comes from. All right. So it's, 7th of August already. We're into the final stretch, the end of the year. There's this awesome app I found the other day called Left, L-E-F-T. And it's not for like left-handed people or anything. It's a calendar that tells you how many days you have left of the year, how many months there are until the next lunar eclipse or whatever it is. It gives you, you can create as many calendars as you want. And on the premium edition, you can even put in your own stuff. Like, let's say you've got a project that you're doing and you have a certain deadline, it works it back for you. So it's very cool, and it just shows it with little dots. Let me see if I can find it here for you quickly. So it's a gimmicky thing. There, for example, there's how many days are left of the year in the white dots.
Okay, so it gives you a nice visual representation if you're more into visual than numbers.
Yeah, it's cool, and you can change the way it looks and, you know, the colors, and I mean, it's quite a useful calendar app. And there's so many gimmicky things out there that when I do find one that's cool, I like to tell people about it.
Could maybe put in your imaginary death date, like when you think you might die, and then that might motivate you to do more things with your life.
What a lovely, optimistic thing to think about this morning. that's why the people love you, you know, making them feel great.
Listen, I went for a mammogram the day before yesterday.
Yeah. Are you in the clear?
I'm feeling pretty positive about life after that. She said they were the most beautiful breasts. Obviously, she's referring to the inside, that she'd seen in a long time. She said there's absolutely nothing to worry about. They're all very clear. Your glands are clear. So I left with a hop and a skip and a jump in my step.
Well, I mean, don't you remember we used to have songs about them on the show? People would write songs. We had, you know, accomplished South African musicians composing songs about your breasts. What a surprise, not for me, not for the audience. Clearly for you, you weren't listening. We told you this.
No, but you know what? There is good on the inside, so that's all I'm happy about. You always go to these things and you think, oh my gosh, I'm going I've come for a routine checkup and now I'm going to get the news. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it doesn't always have to be like that, and it's good to just have it done.
Great titty Friday. This is going to be known for all time. The 7th of August 2026 will be known as Great Titty Friday. Yeah, it's such
okay,
a...
Okay, now you?
Now me. I'm good. I have nothing to complain about. I've had like a really, really busy and thoroughly interesting couple of weeks. I've been going to, you know, have lunches and coffees and meet people who... Because I got a little bit of time on my hands at the moment, especially, you know, in the mornings I do a lot of the stuff that I have to do in the afternoon. So I'm up early, and then if I get all my emails and shit done, then I sort of have an hour or two to spare most days. So what I'm doing now is I'm actually filling it up by seeing people I want to see and who make me think and widen my understanding and broaden my horizons and all that shit. And I've seen some amazing people in the last while. I went to visit a guy a couple of days ago called General Chris Gildenhuys. He used to be in charge of the armored division in our South African army up to about 10 years ago. So he was there for the transition in 1994. He was there before that. He enlisted as a soldier, became, you know, I think he was a brigadier general when he retired. And he now is in charge of a company that makes military vehicles. And what an interesting like niche area of South African engineering. In fact, it was so ironic that the very week that I went to see him was the week that one of the ministers, might even have been Banyaza Lesufi, or a government official of some kind, said, you know, South Africa has this incredible know-how when it comes to the kind of military equipment we can build, and particularly these sorts of military road vehicles. So they almost like, I'm sure you've seen on TV and in movies, you would have seen those massive trucks that are mine-proof, that have UN on them. They're the white ones. Or those vehicles increasingly that you see the Saudis using in their military parades and all the rest of it. I mean, these guys make, here in Pretoria, they make these unbelievable, solid, you know, the steel is 16 millimeters thick, and they can, a mine can go off under them and they'll be fine. The people inside will be okay. You know, they build the whole capsule, and this guy is, you know, in his retired life, he's running this company. We've got such clever people in South Africa. You just have to look for them.
Were you able to see those?
Yeah.
Or did you just chat to him?
Oh, I went so far as to ask him, is it possible for a private citizen to own these? And he said no.
Oh.
Yeah. No, you're not. Because
I was going to say, because you could put one of those in your garden, and if anything ever happened, get inside and just carry on doing what you're doing on your laptop or whatever.
Yeah, correct. I mean, you wouldn't have signal if they let a nuke off somewhere. But I mean, you know, it's so interesting that they build these things and the specifications are hugely regulated, and obviously because they're military and armored vehicles, there's special licenses required. They make most of the stuff here in South Africa, which is unbelievable. And when you buy one as an overseas government or as a foreign state that can legally acquire these, then they send you a huge kit with spare parts as well. And you think to yourself, well, why do we get that with our cars? You know, we should petition the car companies that when you buy your car, they give you a whole bunch of spares, like extra windscreen wipers, bulbs for your headlights. You know, maybe a spare tire if they're really feeling generous, because these guys think so far ahead that obviously these vehicles are used in dangerous and difficult situations, so they'll need the spare parts. They can't wait for a month for them to arrive from South Africa. So they supply them with the car, with the vehicle.
And they're built sustainably using canvas Woolworths bags, aren't they?
Yeah, sure, because those will protect you. I went to the shops yesterday and I was doing some normal boring grocery shopping, and there were police and emergency services people and everything else in the store. I thought, what the hell's going on? So, you know, you're nosy, but you don't want to bother people who are busy. So when I eventually got to the till, I said to the the cashier. I said, well, what the hell's going on here? And she looked at me and she went, I don't know either. And she said, I think it's some kind of inspection. Turns out that the police and, I mean, there were like 15 people there. It was crazy. It was totally unnecessary. And they go and they inspect the meat and the fridges and they check for health concerns. I mean, it's, I know that it's probably good that it's going on, right? But I could think of better uses for the police's time. I mean, there were four police officers among these 12 or 15 people. There was a fire services guy. I suppose he has to check that the fire hydrants all work. And, you know, so at least when I see those things, as much as you want to complain, I mean, every time I see the police, I go, oh, God, what are they up to? But I suppose it's good that they're checking that stuff, right? I mean, even if it's just the appearance of it, it keeps everybody from slacking. I walked out of there with mixed feelings.
It feels like it's an activity that could have been done outside of shopping hours. But anyway.
Yeah. 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 I mean, something like that. there are a few companies here in Pretoria that make amazing vehicles, says Barely Vocal Radio. Especially that one with the massive wheels that can turn on the spot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I also saw Dr. Jonathan Witt last week. I met with these guys who have just bought the Financial Mail. They supply incredible equipment to the mines all over South Africa and the rest of the continent. And they're just incredibly smart, thoughtful, brilliant people running around. Unfortunately, as is the case all over the world, the stuff that gets in the news is usually about the disappointing people. It's not about the guys who build these military vehicles in Pretoria or the company that just acquired the Financial Mail or, you know, the genius people who are contributing every day to the economy. That's why I do this. You've got to keep reminding yourself of how much good is going on in South Africa because there's a ton of it. It really is happening, whether we are aware of it or not. And these guys just keep going on. They don't let it get them down. That, you know, everybody's talking about like corruption and the Madlanga Commission and all that kind of thing. They're busy doing their thing, man.
Yeah. I suppose it's more about what affects your daily life, but it's just the way things work. You kind of get one good news story out of 20.
Slippery Pickle says, come on, Gareth, a VW Polo is about 6 million rands worth of spare parts driving around. If they give those out when you buy the car, how are the manufacturers going to make real money? Yeah. Everybody's talking about these Chinese cars at the moment, and this wasn't going to be a subject for this morning, but I'm increasingly seeing them all over the roads. I don't know if you are. And I think they're all made in the same factory. I think they're all the same. They just changed some of the outside appearances, you know.
If they're from China, they'll certainly be made in the same region.
By the same children.
By the same family of children.
Yeah. Come on, kids. We've got to get these. There are 300 South Africans who've ordered cars in the last month. You better work all night. Okay, we work very hard. Yeah. Otherwise, you won't get your, I don't know, handful of porridge tomorrow.
Aren't they just more affordable?
Yeah. A friend of mine disparagingly called his Chinese car an MP3 player on wheels, which is hilarious. Mm. I got to tell you, like I bought one in January or February, so I'm not in any position to criticize anybody else who does. And the thing that got me was the price. But I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed by the supposedly superior Chinese electronics. I thought the one thing I wouldn't have to worry about was, you know, like your phone connecting to the car's system, the sound system, the screen and all that stuff. Like every one in three times it just automatically connects when you get in the car. The other two times I have to press. And the screen has these tiny little buttons on it that you, You have to have that the daintiest little touch to
like
what's obviously
the fingers of a child.
That like a child has made it. Like a child would press it. That's why, and the thing doesn't always connect, and it's infuriating. I'm like, come on, this is the one thing China's like good at. Don't you guys make our iPhones? Fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ted says that's his name. That's more an Apple problem than a Chinese car problem. Well, same factory, dude. Like, come on.
Maybe there is a delay. Infused with the Apple family.
Maybe they're all. I mean, Tim Cook did say a while ago, and I think he's still in charge at Apple for a little bit longer. He said they are going to move some of the manufacturing back to America. Well, I don't see little American children working in factories. They're not disciplined enough. Sean says, this is interesting. I was involved in the Biak factory. That's one of the brands, believe it or not. It comes here pre-assembled. I just final assembly in the factory. Those things are not built for SA roads. It falls apart. Don't buy. I love it. Someone who's worked in the factory is like, don't buy that shit. Look, I wouldn't take it off road, hey? I certainly don't think it's like a 4x4 in any shape, way, or form. And it doesn't matter which one of them you're driving, for those who are interested in, like, you know, what model, what kind. I think it's kind of, again, the parts are probably interchangeable. So, S, I've got something to show you, which I thought was very, very funny. And we'll just start off with this. We've got a lot of stuff to get to today. We've got Roger Rax making a return from the South. He's coming back on the show today, which is fantastic. I'm very excited to have Roger back. We're going to talk about he might have spotted aliens, and he thinks there's an alien sighting. Yeah, he said there's an alien sighting in, of all places, Four Ways.
What is he doing so far north?
No. He knows people. He knows people who know people who know people. Come on. So there could be aliens in Four Ways. And it's Women's Day this weekend, don't forget. Sunday is Women's Day, the 9th. Which means you get Monday off, so it's actually a long weekend. So happy Women's Day, Leanne.
I mean, haven't we given enough? Now we give you a free Monday. My goodness.
Yeah.
So enjoy your Women's Day on Monday, Gareth.
Thanks. I'm so glad that you thought of me on Women's Day. That's the whole point. Yeah, you know, I think we should celebrate Women's Day with this clip. Just take a look at this. This should make your morning start off in the right way.
Thank you, darling. It's beautiful.
Good.
Is the other one for me too?
No, that's for my mistress.
Mistress?
Mm-hmm.
You have a mistress?
Mm-hmm.
You never told me.
It's not important.
I didn't know you had a mistress.
Oh, I see her only, what, every 2 weeks? You know, it's not important. It's only for sex. Just for sex.
Well, who is she? Anyone I know?
She's a showgirl. Morris has one, too.
Your business partner has a mistress?
Mm-hmm. They're in the same show. Pasta sauce.
Can I see her?
Of course. If you're interested, why not? Why not?
Which one is she?
Who?
Your mistress.
The brunette, third from the left.
And which is Morris's?
The blonde, the end.
Alice is better.
I love it. Isn't
that
great?
Women as temperate as her you would find in the world, but yeah.
My favorite thing is that she says, no, she prefers their mistress. Ours is better. Mm. How great. All right, so what exciting things do you have to tell us this morning? What important information are you going to imbue our busy, clever brains with? What have you got?
Well, speaking of machines that make things, yes. I was interested to see that there is a... You know, we're all printing, 3D printing stuff at home.
Are you? Do you have a 3D printer?
I don't have a 3D printer, but I know many people who do, and yep. they make really useful things. But now there's something, and I think this is something you might be interested in, Gareth, something called a CNC machine, which is coming into the home. Apparently the next big craze of 2027. A CNC machine is a 3D sculpting machine, rather. So instead Shit. Of putting plastic in and then it creates something out of the right. plastic, you put in a full block of brass, a full block wow. of jade.
Oh, wow. And it can like cut away the pieces you don't need. It'll do a Michelangelo.
Steel. Yes. Look, Picasso.
I mean,
alike.
There's that famous quote about how, you know, someone asked Michelangelo, how did you sculpt the David, for example, that famous statue that's in Milan, right? Which everybody in the yeah. world has seen, even if it's on a photograph. And someone said, how did you do this? This is incredible. Or the Pietà, which is in the Vatican, the famous statue of Mary holding Jesus, you know, after they've pulled him down from the cross. Beautiful works. And Michelangelo said at one of these occasions, I didn't sculpt this myself. It was already inside the marble. I just freed it. So that's what these mm-hmm. machines will do.
That's exactly what they do. So CNC wow. doesn't sound like anything that it is, computer numerical control machine. Yeah. But being a bit of a side hustle from people that they can have in their workshop or their garage, they're motorized. And then they cough out physical parts and digital CAD or CAD designs out of solid blocks of material. So you put in your block of plastic, your block of copper, oh, your block of metal, wood, and make, oh. and okay, that's like a huge guy that'll be in a factory. These are the same size as 3D printers. And you can print like little statuettes or whatever you want, parts like gears for a bicycle, anything you like.
Well,
using laser cutters.
I have to tell you, my nephews who are 10 and 12 at their school, they have 3D printers in their one lab that they, and this is primary school, by the way. And they're already printing stuff in the 3D printer. It's phenomenal what they can do. It's like part of their curriculum now that they learn to do.
Yeah.
3D printing, and a lot of people have 3D printers in their homes, and they make machine parts. You can do almost anything because you, as long as you use the right substances, and obviously some of these printers are more expensive than others, but you can make things out of, you know, very hard synthetic materials. It can be soft plastics. You can print like a foam. You can make storage cases for things. I mean, the uses of this are endless. I think if I had to get one, you wouldn't see me for like 2 years. I'd be making stupid shit on my 3D printer like a turbo nerd for hours. I'd burn through so much material. Can you imagine me?
I can imagine. Wow. You would be putting blocks of hardwood in there and epoxy and jewelry wax and aluminium, titanium. To give you an idea of price.
Mm-hmm. What do they cost?
So you might get something called a Makera Z1. And obviously they'll reduce in price as they get better. But at the moment they're on the market for about $1,100.
Okay. I mean, you know, when I have lots of cash lying around, whenever that happens. When that happens, of course, yeah.
You're going to make tiny little statues of liberty out of copper.
I was one of those kids who used to make those things out of like mud in the garden. I loved it. And plasticine, you remember that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
So I've always marveled more at sculpture, and I love paintings, and I love crafts of, you know, jewelry, the ability to make beautiful furniture, but I think sculpture is a whole higher level, because it's you're working in three dimensions, and you can't really, if you take off too much, if you're sculpting, it's impossible to fix it. Now, I wonder if this is going to remove the need for that skill. I mean, it's always going to be the case that something made by human hands is rarer and more valuable. But I do like the fact that if you want to manufacture something, you could give someone a sculpture of themselves for their birthday. I mean, that you know, that could be cool.
Yeah, you could make little jewelry charms and amulets and sure. Definitely side hustle vibes.
Yeah, gifting. You could sell this stuff. You could be commissioned to do this stuff for people, just like an artist would have been. But the difference is here, you could churn out like three or four of these in a day if you're smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
I love
Very
it.
Very cool.
My father-in-law, says Henny, has three of these 3D printers, and it drives my wife crazy. Oh, man. There are clearly some people in the audience who are already doing this stuff. Barely Vocal Radio says, I'm using a Seeger Formlabs for 3D printing. Flux Engraver with built-in camera makes life so much easier. Wow. I got into turning 2D pictures into 3D models a while ago, and it's amazing what those can do. I mean, the level of detail is not so great yet that you can, you know, can replicate something phenomenally intricate, but it's coming. Yeah. It's not far off.
What I hope you'd do it.
What would you do with it?
I would probably make like little charms and things, but yeah, I'm not really that type of person. I'd rather buy from someone who's doing it. But I hope that it comes with some kind of, you know, extra knowledge attached to it. So it'll help people understand things like how 3D animation works, because that's just fascinating. And not just, you know, oh, let me put this in and make.
Well, I think the big,
you know, I hope it comes with some
problem.
Education.
The big problem that so many people have, and I think it's just one of those things that certain people are just born with the visual and brain skills to be able to see things in 3D, right? And I hope I'm one of those people, because that's one of the reasons I love drawing floor plans and designing buildings, and I should have probably done something about that when I was at varsity, but it's just a hobby for me, and I absolutely love it. It is engrossing. And I close my eyes when I go to sleep, and I imagine these buildings and these rooms that I've drawn. But I use 3D software now, which does a lot of that for me. It makes it easier for you. But these days, the estate agents, those irritating ones that we always play embarrassing videos of, I don't think those are the ones who are doing the 3D stuff. But most of the really good estate agents can show you, especially if they're selling stuff off spec, right? They can show you like a walkthrough of the place in 3D of what it looks like, because people can't imagine this stuff. They can't look at a floor plan and go, okay, that's where the window is, that's where the door is, that's how big the room will feel, that's how high the ceilings are. So this stuff will help enormously. I mean, you imagine what this will do for the kinds of projects that architects have to do. Architects used to have to, if they did a massive model of a building that they were designing, they'd have to make the things out of like wood and sticks, and they'd have to get moss for grass and that sort of shit. Now you can print all that stuff, right?
Yeah. Amazing. It's kind of reminds me, my brother's just bought a house that he's renovating. And I mean, compared to 3 years ago when he renovated, with the advent of AI, how different things are. Taking pictures of the entire house from top to bottom and reimagining everything through AI. No more difficult decisions on should the garage door be painted gray or white. You can just visualize it in, you know, right in front of you. It's just amazing. I love it so much.
Yeah, I love this. Goon says it's great for merch. So one of the ideas for merch that I had this week, and we do have a merch section on the new GarethCliff.com. All of this is just waiting to be launched. We're getting our subscriptions ready for the daily briefing, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to update you until I can, until there's something that you can go and look at. But we're going to have a merch section, and I thought this week, what about T-shirts with a famous line now, which I've used. I used it in this week's Daily Briefings. Why you never give me, which is the central philosophy of the ANC.
Right? Wasn't that a security guard that you came across?
But I think that is the dominant philosophy. Like, you know, you think about the philosophy of Aristotle or Socrates or Immanuel Kant or Nietzsche or Freud. The central philosophy of the ANC is why you never give me. And I think shirts like that would sell like hotcakes. People would love them in ANC colors.
Did you see the video that Helen Ziller put out? Obviously, she puts these out, and sometimes they're a bit of banter at the water cooler. She was on the one side of the road under her DA umbrellas, and they were campaigning, and across the road were the ANC. Did you see that one?
Yeah. And then she went over and spoke to the ANC woman and convinced her.
No, it's one where there's an old Madala in an ANC t-shirt. Yeah. And obviously he doesn't understand that he's being recorded and the power of social media. But he's just standing there like this to Helen.
Oh, yeah. And then now she's put him in the background of a whole lot of her stuff, right? Yeah. I love that.
Like, water pipe's not working. There's the ANC guy pulling a zap.
His friend is trying to
cover him up and stop him from.
Yeah.
Probably knew the implications. But yeah, I thought that was a good one.
Whoever is doing Helen's Helen, you hear when I said her name, my voice went to her. So, whoever's doing Helen's social media is fantastic.
Yeah, they are. I think she has a lot to do with it. She can be quite a fun person. We know that.
Yeah, there we go. Bitcoin Butt says he's actually now known as the Middle Finger Madala.
There you go.
I think James has actually got that clip for us. We'll get to it just now. But yeah, this is now famous stuff. Isn't it amazing how politics has changed? Because you can ruin someone's political career with a meme. Nobody even knew what a meme was 5 and 10 years ago they did. But let's say 20 years ago, nobody knew. It wasn't a word that was bandied around like it is now. And the power of this to ridicule stupid things in society, to make fun of things in a good-natured way too, it's amazing that the meme has become as powerful as it is. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, well, it can change people's trajectories in their lives. There are these clips that you find where they've done stories on children who were memes 15 years ago and how they're still recognized for it in some either good way or bad way. There's that old guy as well who appears in, he was like a stock photo.
Yeah.
And he appears in so many memes.
I follow him on Instagram. He's like a Scandinavian of some kind. And he's always used as the general picture. He's like smiling and then they put whatever shit in front of him and it's the same picture. That's the guy you're talking about. But I thought about Hawk Tour Girl for some reason the other day. Remember what a big deal she was? And I think she made a ton of money and then it all just, you know, ran out very quickly. Because again, you know, you got your 15 minutes of fame. This is why I wonder if we've got a realistic view of kind of how human attention has, the attention span has shortened so much now. That in order to have a sustained career, if your career is dependent on attention, like let's say you're just a YouTuber or you do something more difficult. Let's say you do, you know, complex stuff in the world of investigative journalism, for example, or you're a person who is putting documentaries together and you develop a reputation for that. It is so much harder to keep the attention now than it's ever been because we've got so many options. You could wake up in the morning and go down a rabbit hole of content. And, you know, by the night, you could be interested in three things that you didn't even know existed the day before.
Yeah.
Pretty bizarre. Okay. I also have to tell you, because this is very much up your street, there's an Australian library, those are still a thing, that received a return that had been missing for 150 years. Someone checked out a book 150 years ago. It was discovered bricked into the fireplace of a home during renovations. Can you imagine what that library thought when this – and first of all, kudos to the people who brought it back, right?
Yeah, because they could have faced a fine, technically.
Well, they probably – yeah, I think they would have let them go on the fine. It's probably not them who checked it out. But 150 years later, I mean, there are some librarians sitting in dusty old libraries who may be 150, but chances are slim.
That's hilarious. I love that. I meant to say while we were on the Helen Ziller thing, I did receive one of these badly made AI posters of Helen Ziller. And it's about her making an appearance in my suburb.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is it's, you know, recently we sold my parents' home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there. It's in my garden.
Are you joking? So Helen Ziller's going to make an appearance in your garden?
It's so weird. I mean, sitting in that garden for 20 years, the garden. I don't think my dad would have been that pleased, but he certainly would have found it entertaining.
Hey, she could be mayor of Joburg. And I think there are loads of people who hope that happens. I'm not impressed with a lot of the stuff that our politicians do, whether it's the DAANC or EFF, MK, whatever. But as a human, I'm still just dumbstruck. We're trying to line up an interview with Helen where I'll go and interview her somewhere, because there's so many places that she could suggest that would be interesting, you know, top of a building or whatever. And I want to talk to her because I still don't understand why anybody, let alone someone of her age who's already done, you know, I mean, Helen's been around a long time. She's been part of some incredible history in this country. She used to be a journalist. She was there in the Biko case, for heaven's sake, all those years ago. And she's done her bit for South Africa. And there's something that intrigues me about people who have the sense of duty that she does, because no one wants to be – you don't want that job, right? It's got to be the worst job in the world. There are only a few things I can think of that would be worse than that. Trying to fix Joburg, such a mammoth task, and there's no glory associated with it. It's all just different layers of shit. And she wants to do it. She's at her age, got more energy than many people half that age have for their jobs that they like, that they enjoy. It's just phenomenal. I've got to get into her head and find out what that driving force is. It fascinates me.
To carry that amount of passion at her stage of life, but I do remember once she said the women in her family are bred differently. They just, you know, go on and on and on, and they have a lot of stamina. But that literally is the age where you're asking, what time is retirement? You know, you've just had enough. You don't care anymore. And you've given everything. But she just keeps on going. It's amazing.
So Bitcoin Butt asks, when is Helen coming back on this show, or is the show non-political? No, we still cover politics every now and then, but the show is mostly an entertainment show. You guys know that. And I want to keep it fun and light, and we try to bring interesting people on. Leanne, we had a star appearance from your friend Professor David Block the other day, who was terrific.
Right, lovely.
Yeah. And, you know, we try to bring on like people who are doing cool stuff. And there are so many. So that's also one of the reasons that I'm in my little bits of spare time going to meet and see interesting people, because then we can get them on the show and I can share what they know with you. It's fantastic. Or you could be like Professor Jason R. Day and lie your way to the top. Whoops. Do you know this story? Can I tell you about this?
I don't know about this.
So there's been an embarrassing thing that happened this week. The youngest, I think he's the youngest professor, or he's the youngest black professor in Cambridge University history, a guy called Professor Jason R. Day. He was celebrated in the university for, you know, some of the work that he'd done and his own personal story, which he said he'd run six marathons in 6 days or whatever. And he there was this whole story of like a tough upbringing and how he made it. And he's written these amazing academic works in serious academic journals. And, you know, he's qualified, got so many degrees. Turns out he was a complete fraud. And the left-wing liberals at Cambridge University were just hoodwinked by this guy. Turns out he was a total midwit, didn't have a lot to offer. Most of his stuff was plagiarized, but blatantly plagiarized. Really? Yeah, he was just a fraud. He was a total lying, deceiving, bullshit artist, con man of the first order. And it's hugely embarrassing for a university like Cambridge because they were proudly trumpeting. There he is. They're proudly trumpeting. I mean, oh, wow. I would have been able to tell you that that guy with that look, with that long fucking hair and the makeup and the, you know, I could have told you guys. Professor of bullshit. Anyway, he's become another embarrassing poster boy for the failure of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, because there's such a desire among white liberals to, you know, find, they want to be part of a story that makes all the other people who've been previously disadvantaged and disenfranchised feel special. And they can't wait to push these people and advance them, even if they haven't checked whether the people are legit. And then when it happens, it's so embarrassing, not just for the white liberals who are all let down, but for the people who thought that this was a major advance, that there was someone who was, from a minority group that was underrepresented in academia. What they do is they do more damage than if you'd never seen a young black professor with the long hair and all that stuff in the first place. He's now, they've set it back. They have not done it any favors. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. They must have. Stupid. I wonder what was in it for him, because it's sometimes money, sometimes a position. Sometimes
he had a tenured teacher. Position at the university. And it's partly the amount of attention that he got. There are people who get addicted to attention. We were talking about earlier how, you know, you have these people who make it for 15 minutes of fame, and then they get addicted to that and they keep chasing it. One of the people I think that's happening to at the moment in South Africa is that Anton Taylor guy who, you know, he did a couple of funny things online, and he's got a following and he deserves it. He's earned it. He's done some funny stuff. And now he's getting involved in, you know, gay pride flags being flown at high schools in Cape Town. And people are like, dude, this is not what you should be doing. This is not what you're known for. And nobody's backing you on this. And he's putting his heart and soul. He's like selling the stock of that stuff. And people are not buying it. I think his time in the sun is coming to an end. But who knows? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. People have a weird way of coming back. But fame is such a dumb thing to chase.
Speaking of which, I don't know if you've seen in the news this week, Perez Hilton.
So Perez Hilton was one of those celebrity reporter type, like almost like a
gossip reporter, really.
Yeah, and he made his name by telling embarrassing stories about like Hollywood celebs, right?
Yeah, he's been doing that for like 30 years.
Okay, what's the story with him?
So this week he went on a live on Instagram, TikTok live, mm-hmm. and it was for about 23 minutes long. He was not in a good place mentally. I don't think he ever has been, but he was actually going through a psychotic episode. Yeah, and he took a knife to his body in multiple places of his body and just started slicing himself. Apparently is something that you you should not seek out. It's not one of those where they say, you know, don't watch this to try and get you to watch it. Apparently it is deeply, deeply disturbing. He really does maim himself all over. And
He did this live? He did this on a stream?
Yes.
Oh, for God's sake.
I stand to be corrected whether it was Instagram or TikTok, but whoever it was eventually closed it down after 23 minutes. He was absolutely covered in blood from head to toe. He was maiming his genitals. He was really, apparently it was absolutely brutal. I've seen snippets of where the emergency services have arrived at his home. He is currently in hospital. He did survive. But apparently recently there was something to do with an infection he had and some sort of sepsis. And I don't know if that set off a psychotic episode, but obviously lots of rumors swirling around. And then a lot of people saying, you know, when you've ruined the lives of others for 30 years, you deserve this. Other people saying no one deserves this. And there's all of that going on. But yeah, that's quite the story of fame and getting to the point of doing something like that.
Yeah, you know, there's something about if you're going through shit, it doesn't need to be shared. Like some privacy, some dignity here. And I know he's probably going through a mental breakdown, so he wasn't thinking clearly. He wasn't in his best mind. I feel like this is all symptomatic of attention seeking. That's why you would stream it live and then hurt yourself on a stream. And that's what people do if they're crying out for attention, not for help. They want sympathy, but they're more interested mm-hmm. in the attention they get for the problem, rather than
yeah.
I mean, no one's really going to come and help you. No one's coming to your house to rescue you, right? They're just watching you go through your shit.
The chances are better of someone coming to help to rescue you because that someone's going to report it as opposed to you doing it by yourself with no one watching. I think the intention right there is completely different to whether he had done that by himself. And at what level would he have stopped?
Well, Carl DeSantis says what I'm thinking. You know you're annoying when you try to stab yourself.
You see, never too early, never too soon.
Yeah, I love it. Mo Rabbit says, I saw the video, but you could only watch 5 seconds. Yeah, I had this argument with my sister a little while ago. She watches, like I know you do, all those crime shows and these shows where they catch like these serial killers. And you know I have no interest in those true life dramas and real and crime stories and even horror movies. Horror and thriller movies, I'm just not that interested in. And I suppose it's because there's enough going on in the world that's ugly that I don't want to see more. So I just cut it out. I would never go and watch this Perez Hilton video. I would never go and look at it. I'm just so not interested.
I don't want to. I mean, I'm into true crime and all of that, but I don't want to watch this.
Clint from the Vol says, so extreme attention seeking. 7 years' time, he'll be back with a book and they'll all be praising his bravery. Lame, not interesting. Yeah, I think that's true.
I don't think he would ever write a book. I don't think his audience are book readers. They're more like gossip headlines and maybe a paragraph. But he'll be back.
Well, you know, this also happens from the point of view that sometimes the reporter wants to become the story. We've seen this with journalists before where they start making the story about them. And maybe Perez Hilton, and just put that photo of him up again. I mean, a guy like it looks like that, he's never going to become a star. Jesus. What an ugly human being. I mean, really, and that's him like dressed up. You can see he's going to some awards show or something with that horrible jacket on. But that guy, he should never have been famous in the first place. He carved out a niche for himself talking about other famous people. He should have stuck to that. He shouldn't have become the star.
I mean, as much as he spoke ill of others for 30 years. He was bullied for 30 years by the people saying
so what?
He was ugly, he was this, he was that.
Come on. There's, you know, let so me tell you, we need to, angles. Leanne, we need to bring back bullying. People are so soft and pathetic these days. A little bit of bullying would help a lot of people to just toughen the fuck up. I've seen so much in the last couple of months of like men who just are whiny little bitches, men who complain about their feelings, men who are supposed to be doing shit and looking after stuff and being providers, just these pathetic males who are soft and weak and useless. Like there's nothing more sad than a useless man. And I see them and I think you should have been bullied more.
Yeah, it's definitely still around. I don't know. I still find myself in a situation where I'm being bullied at least twice a month, a good session of bullying. But
your cats have always done that to you. So
I've just been bitten by one of them. Well, the one.
See, I know. I know this happens. Oh, man. All right. Listen, we've got a couple of things to do. I'm going to also bring in Maria, who's been on the show before. Maria is from Tourvest, and she's going to tell us about some exciting new stuff as well. We're going to get to that in just a moment or two. Roger Rax, as I mentioned, Maria Watkins, by the way, in case you were wondering what her surname was. Roger Rax coming on later. And then, Leanne, before you go, we have to play a quick game of Dead or Alive. Because we haven't done that in ages. I'll give you a bunch of celebrity names. I'm going to add Perez Hilton because who knows, right?
He's a risk to himself.
Could be a risk. So we'll get to him later. But stick around for that and a whole lot more. So let's go to Maria quickly. And you'll remember Maria was on the show not too long ago. But she has just got back. And you're going to love this, Leanne. I want to go to this place so badly. She is going to tell us about her once-in-a-lifetime trip to experience the polar lights, the northern lights up in Norway. Norway, the place I want to go. So wow. What a perfect day to bring on Maria. So how's it, Maria Watkins? How are you doing? Bring her on, James. Where is she? There she is. Ah, hello.
How's it? How are you?
I'm good, lucky. Fabulous. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, oh,
good. Happy Friday morning.
Happy Friday, and I come to speak to you about something a little sunnier and happier than what you've been speaking about.
What, Perez Hilton? Anything sunnier and happier than Perez Hilton. But listen, I'm not joking. Norway is probably, I mean, if I have to rank the places I really want to go, Norway is probably in the top three, hey?
It's an absolutely gorgeous country. I mean, Gareth, you know, I've done quite a bit of traveling up. Been quite privileged to do that.
And, yeah, you've been everywhere.
Norway is probably one of the prettiest destinations I've been to, purely because it's just so much water, so much nature. And, you know, I know you mentioned the Northern Lights, but I wasn't quite there for the season. The Northern Lights are more from November to March. Okay. I went there now in June and in the summer, but it was pretty much the same weather we were having back home in our winter. Wow. But what I did experience was something they call the midnight sun. So it never gets dark. It just never gets dark. So the sun does set. You do watch the sunset, but it just stays as bright and light as it is right now for us. And it doesn't matter if you're out at 6 p.m. in the evening or if you're making your way back from a club at 3 a.m., it feels like daylight. But it's a strange experience because your body is like feeling like it's daytime, but you know you should be sleeping because the next day you want to, you know, go out and explore the country. But the hotels are very well equipped. I mean, they've got all of those blackout curtains. Blackout. So you are able, yeah, if you drag yourself into your hotel, you're able to actually get a good night's sleep. We went to two places, Bergen and Oslo, both completely different, both absolutely gorgeous. Bergen is known as the rainiest city in Europe. They get rain around 240 days of the year. So you got to pack your umbrella, you got to pack your raincoats. If you forget to do that, I mean, they've got stores that run a living from selling umbrellas. That's it. That's all you'll find in that shop. But the rain doesn't get you down. It doesn't get you down.
I mean, you mentioned how beautiful it is, and you've got the fjords, and you've got incredible infrastructure there, these bridges and roads that are just beautifully designed through the mountains, over the fjords, just incredible stuff. And I have a friend, and he and his wife went to Norway. They went on the Hurdigurden, which is that it's the little boat that you hop on, and it takes you all the way up the coast to wherever you want to go. I think they went all the way up to the Arctic Circle, and it just feels like a magical place from what he described. It seems to me that it's so different to what we've got here. You know, South Africa, we think of the bush and we think of the beach. And I was talking to Ben just last week about the mountains, but in Norway, it's such a funny, you mentioned the midnight sun and, you know, the fact that obviously in winter it's dark the whole time, but it's just such a magical place by the sound of things. That's where trolls and fairies and all that stuff comes from.
Correct. And we went on beautiful fjord cruises. I mean, when you're actually cruising on that water, it is so clear, it is so calm, and those cliffs just engulf you. You just feel surrounded. Waterfalls like I have never seen in my lifetime. I mean, we have some beautiful waterfalls in our own country, but they were massive. They were powerful. What is lovely to also see is just how the people of Norway live. They're very sporty. So like one of our tour guides said, anything ending with an ing, they do. You know, it's hiking, it's kayaking, it's running, it's swimming. They get into their camper vans and their RVs and they, you know, drive around. You're able to park your RV wherever, as long as it's not within somebody's personal property. So you see these camper vans and RVs everywhere. And I think what an incredible way to experience that country. We were on boats. We were on a vintage train, the Flumsbana. I'm sure your friends experienced that. You get to Flum, a beautiful, beautiful village. And then you get onto this vintage train. And along the way, they actually stop for you to get off for like 5 minutes, and you go to one of these incredible waterfalls, and they have this mystical fairy that apparently used to entice the men into the forests. And they have a human woman that comes out and dances and then disappears. And, you know, it's just so incredible to experience.
You know what's amazing about Norway is that's probably her full-time job. That's all she does.
She
comes out and dances under the... Listen, I'm a sucker for a waterfall, hey? I mean, I love...
gorgeous.
A waterfall is... To me, I could sit there mesmerized for hours at a waterfall, like a dumb Labrador. I just look at those things. And then you bring in, like, Norwegian women. And, I mean, I've seen...
Oh, they're beautiful.
Oh, my God. I follow this Norwegian pole vaulter who I swear to God... Just if you promised me that I could just see her in real life, I would learn Norwegian. I would get my visa. I'd live in a fucking camper van for 6 weeks if I had to, just to like bump into her in the shops. I mean, what a special place.
It is a special place. And even though the
Erling Haaland at the moment.
What's that? You would want to meet Erling Haaland.
Yeah, that's how women are feeling about him at the moment, I think.
Yeah.
I would love to know what percentage of new visitors to Norway are purely because of an interest player, because the whole of America has now woken up to the fact that there's something beyond their own sport and an entire world out there with players who are followed by millions of people. So, yeah, that would be interesting to know.
Limited Edition asks what language is spoken. It's Norwegian, and Norwegian is different to Swedish, is different to Finnish, is different to Danish, and is different to Icelandic. But they can kind of understand each other. They all have similar roots. But
it's almost like a bit of a dialect.
Could you understand any of it?
Not at all. You can't even read it, really. But I must say, the people of Norway, they're very friendly, even though there is a bit of a language barrier. They do make the effort to try and communicate. You know, the food in Norway as well, Gareth, something, it's obviously a lot of seafood, but we experience some incredible restaurants. There's a place called Skyskrapen. It's about 640 meters above sea level. You get up there, and by cable car, and you get the most magnificent views. Unfortunately, it was raining the day we went. But the food was really, really great. Another recommendation would be the Cornelius restaurant. It's a very famous restaurant. You can only get there by boat from Bergen. And when you arrive there, you actually don't know what's on the menu because it's caught fresh every single day. And the owner, who is well over 75 years old, still dives himself. To get some of the seafood that you experience in that restaurant. So really, really special. We visited Oslo as well. It's a city, but so clean. A lot of fun, a lot of shopping. They've got a beautiful sculpture park that's open to the public 24/7. So you see a lot of the locals running through that park. But the sculptures are just so impressive. It's all human sculptures. And it really depicts this artist's lifetime. Really, really great. Something fun we did was, I don't know if you know what a rib boat is. I didn't. So it's almost like an extra large rubber boat, but it's sort of got those seats that you're standing and slightly sitting, but not quite. And you get out there onto the water in the fjords of Oslo, and you're going at a speed, and it's just so much fun. Go Google it, rib boats in Oslo. I'm not the adventurous type, so I was quite nervous about it. I had an absolute blast. Something fun to do. Well over my 50s too, and for the first time in my life, I got thrown out of a club in Oslo. So that's a story for another time. But I want to mention
hang on, no, you're not getting away with this. No nonsense. What did you do to get thrown out of? No, Maria, what did you do? Come on. What did you do?
It was pretty innocent. They're a very organized country. You can only imagine. I mean, it is so brilliantly run, that country. So even in the pubs, you get a time slot for a table. I mean, we're from South Africa. You walk into a pub, if the table's available, you sit. And so we did. We got served. We ordered food. And then the people who actually booked the table arrived. And as South Africans, we couldn't quite understand what the problem is. And so we just carried on sitting until the bouncers came to remove us. But great night.
They didn't offer you another table. They just kicked you out of the club.
Yeah, but it came down to, I think, a little bit of a communication barrier. And, you know, South Africans being South Africans, we were just having a lack of joy, not really paying attention to the demands that were coming through to vacate the table. So we got thrown out. So it was pretty innocent, nothing raucous, nothing you probably ran through your mind in that split second. But I wanted to mention the clubs, the pubs, really fantastic. But you got to be prepared to pay 300 rand for a local beer in a pub. I'm a Guinness drinker, 545 rand for a Guinness.
Wow.
So they use the krona in Norway. And as much as the exchange rate sounds pretty acceptable at 1.7, it is quite pricey and it is expensive, but worth every penny, really. That's exactly what you see constantly. Just an amazing experience. I would recommend it to anybody that, you know, is keen to visit those kind of countries. Easy to get there. Most of the European airlines have got a connection through to Norway. We went via KLM, via Amsterdam, but very easy to get to. Really just an incredible place.
You know, it's always kind of struck me as a little, it's different to the other Scandinavian countries in that, first of all, they use the krona, not the euro. Norway's not in the EU. They have an enormous sovereign wealth fund because they drill for oil off in the North Sea, and they're a country that can afford to spend lavishly on social, you know, social welfare, on infrastructure. It's a very well-provisioned country, and obviously, you know, they look after things there. They build constantly. They've got free schools and free healthcare for the people who live there. It's also expensive, as you already pointed out, for tourists. But the density of population is not that high. So wherever you go, most of what you're seeing is kind of unspoiled nature. Obviously, in the cities, correct, it's different. But there's vast expanses of Norway that nobody lives in.
Absolutely. It is. And you know, you mentioned earlier as well, I mean, you can drive for hours and not see somebody. They have the infrastructure, the tunnels. We drove through a tunnel that was about 20 kilometers long. And within the tunnel, though, they've got all of these flashing lights, not disturbing, like they keep changing color so that the drivers don't get this tunnel vision. But they've created this infrastructure for the people to move around quite easily. And, you know, as a Norwegian, you're never going to suffer. When you retire, you're well looked after through that fund. You're never, ever going to suffer. So everybody that we sort of experience in the workspace definitely works really, really hard. Everyone's there. Everyone's looking after their country. It's so clean, like unbelievably clean. And then you just throw in all of this water that's around you, and you feel like you are really in a magical place. You know, they even something interesting that I've never seen before that I think we need here is the driver cannot start his bus unless he takes a breathalyzer test. That is the only way the bus will start up. So
that's no fun.
Yeah, I
no
mean,
fun
it's
at all.
Very safe.
I mean, in South Africa, you know, South Africa, you take your chances with taxis and bus drivers. You never know; they could be drunk.
Well, you know,
and high
the difference is you could walk around there really freely. I mean, besides the fact that while we were there, it was light, so you never feel like you're walking down a dark alley ever. It's really safe. It is very, very safe, even in the big city, even in Oslo.
Well, listen, you've just put the cherry on the top here. You gilded the lily. You've iced the cake, because for me, it's always been in my top destinations, and now I'm absolutely bursting to go. But how incredible. How long were you there for?
We were there just over a week.
Oh.
Just over a week.
Okay, your absolute highlight?
The waterfalls and the fjords.
Gotcha.
The waterfalls and the fjords were just absolutely incredible.
I love it. All right, Maria, you've done
it
again.
You know who can take you there? You know who can take you there?
Yeah. there's one other thing. You went to Svalbard. Svalbard is where they've got the World Seed Bank. So they've collected seeds from all over the world, and they've got this incredible underground archive. It's one of the most secure places on planet Earth. You need huge security clearances to get in there. And they've stored every kind of mostly sort of edible plants and medicinal plants that they've gathered from all over the world. So that if there's some kind of disaster and a plant gets wiped out or worse, they can go to the seed bank and they can grow some of those plants from scratch, which is an incredible thing. I don't think you got to see the seed bank, but that's one of the things I know happens in Svalbard.
Yeah.
Obviously, going in winter, and a lot of people would want to go in winter. You get to see the northern lights, and of course, then it's dark instead of light the whole time. But this is a place you can visit all year round, right?
All year round, absolutely. And I'll work really hard to get to go there at a time when I can experience the northern lights. Sure. You know, a colleague of mine was there over the December period, and he was showing me his photographs, and it's unbelievable. And you see it every night. It's not like it's not like a myth that, you know, you may or may never see. It happens over that time, practically every night. And it's incredible. If you've ever watched a video of the Northern Lights, it's exactly like that.
Amazing. All right, Maria, I love it. Thank you for making our mornings a little bit more exciting than usual.
Gareth, thank you.
Always good to see you. Thanks, Maria.
Likewise. Cheers.
Very cool. Bye. There we go. It's Maria Watkins. She is from she's the GM for leisure at Tourvest. And, you know, the best place to go if you want to book something like this is go to travel.co.za. They're offering all kinds of cool stuff. And you heard last week from Ben, who told us about their big golf trip to Mauritius. So if you want to go along to that, you can also go and book. What would your top three travel destinations be, Ass? Anywhere in the world, as long as you want. Three tickets. What are your three destinations?
Definitely one of the Scandinavian countries. And now, think, you know, obviously after this conversation, it's particularly inspiring to go there. I would love to revisit the coast of Spain again, and Barcelona. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of like a third place.
Well, Prof David Block was on last week. He's going to Egypt for the solar eclipse next year. And I think that could be an extraordinary thing to see. I'm almost thinking it might be a nice birthday present to myself to go and join Professor David Block looking up at the solar eclipse when I turn 50. What a great occasion that would be. I'd love it. So I think I might just take him up on that.
Yeah, I mean, well, going with the prof would make it an extraordinary experience in itself. That would be amazing. Yeah.
Oh, that's 9/10 of the fun. Mm-hmm. I said to him, I was thinking about this. I might like to go. And he said, oh, that'll be wonderful. Then I suggested, well, I could put together like a little history lecture thing. I mean, I would pay and go as a guest, but I'd put together a little history lecture on Egypt. And he's like, we don't need you. He goes, I'll get a proper Egyptologist. He like put me in my place immediately. He's like, why don't you shut up and I'll get some people who actually know this stuff. I'm like, I was thinking, oh my God, I could have done this thing about the you know, the different pharaohs and the different dynasties in Egypt and the gods of ancient Egypt. He's like, shut up. What do you know? I'm going to get a proper expert.
Oh, there you go.
I'm sorry. I'll shut the hell up. Yeah.
Take your Aesop's fables elsewhere.
Yeah, he put me right in my place. It was unbelievable. China never comes up as a holiday destination. Interesting, says Vili. Well, I know people who've been to China, and I think it is fascinating. I mean, Hong Kong is often a tourist destination, and many people have that on their lists high up. And China's amazing. There are places there and huge towns that make the entire population of South Africa could fit into them. They make us look like we're small fry. And I think from the point of view of seeing what kind of amazing stuff they're doing, China could be a really good place to go. Jean says in the comments here, Jean Bobayan says, I'm leaving for Egypt tomorrow. Nice. Very good.
Very good.
Okay, so, let's play a quick game of Dead or Alive. Are you ready?
Am I guessing who's dead and alive? What?
Yeah, I'm going to give you some names. You tell me if you think they're dead or alive, and then we're going to score you at the end of it. So, James, will you keep score, please? We'll start off with Dick Van Dyke.
Dead.
No, he's alive. 0 points so far. Sorry. Yeah, he's alive. He's 100.
Well, geez, well done.
William Shatner.
Oh, he's still alive.
Yes, he is. He's alive and kicking. I was telling James and Janine at lunch yesterday, I saw a great clip of him and another actor and George Foreman eating, this links to what Maria was on talking about just now, eating surströmming, you know, that disgusting stuff. Yeah. that the Swedish eat. They put it in a tin and it ferments and it's pickled herring and it's just gross. And it freaks out most people. William Shatner, who's, I don't know, he must be close to, he must be 90-something now. William Shatner and George Foreman, no problem. They open the surstromming, they take a piece of this gross fish that stinks, and they both of them just eat it. They're like bulletproof. Sophia Loren.
I think she passed away recently.
Nope. She's still alive. She's still alive. So you've got one out of three so far. Jane Goodall.
Passed away. I think last year.
Okay, so you're saying dead.
I think she passed away earlier this year or last year. Yeah.
Okay, you're correct. Dead, so you get another point. Praveen Gordon.
He's passed away.
Yes. I forgot that he was dead. I thought he was still in government.
Oh dear. Well,
I once went to the gym near my house that I go to occasionally. He was there, like when he wasn't finance minister, before he became finance minister again. I'm like walking down the stairs, and there's Praveen Gordon. So I was like, shit. Okay. See, even he was trying to be fit, and he's still dead. So yes, doesn't help. Point for that. Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees.
Oh, he's still alive.
Okay, Maurice Gibb from the Bee Gees.
Oh, shit, I think one of them died. I'm going to go with alive.
No, dead.
Oh, damn it.
Robin Gibb from the Bee Gees?
Oh, no. No, let's say he's alive.
No, dead. Only Barry's left.
I'm so bad at this.
All right.
Clearly, I don't care who's here alive.
Here's a name you haven't heard in a long time. Kirk Douglas.
Oh, we know he passed.
Yes. Very much dead. Okay. Donald Sutherland.
Wait, which one? Oh, he's also the actor.
Yes.
Alive.
No, dead. You're terrible at this. Ronnie Kasrils.
Oh. I think he's dead.
No, he's alive. Kosasana Dlamini Zuma.
Alive.
Yeah. She was on one of the podcasts. It could have been Sizwe Mpofu Walsh's podcast, or I don't know which one. Anyway, she was on this podcast, and she basically outed the ANC for being just totally run by money, you know, like handing out cash to get votes. And then Fikile Mbalula came out, and he was like, no, that's not true, because she named him. She said he was at clinics during the last election handing out brown envelopes of money. And he's like, no, that's not true. And Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma is talking shit. And who the hell does she think she is? She's old. And is she still alive? That's what got me thinking about this. Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, we know he's gone.
No, he's not gone. He's still alive. God, you're terrible. Burt Bacharach.
I don't know who that is.
The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you.
I don't know.
Okay, no, he's dead. He's dead. Okay. I mean, with you, it's like 50-50. Okay, Raquel Welch.
I think she passed away.
Yes, correct. You got one. Thank God. Your score is terrible. Let me give you an easy one. From Goon in the comments, Queen Elizabeth II.
Oh, she's gone.
Yes, dead. Well done. Well done. All right. Yeah, I'm going to stop this because it's embarrassing for you. What's her score, James? give me a number. He's busy calculating. By the way, we've decided there are two kinds of James. It came up in a meeting this week because James does nothing that I tell him to. And we talk in meetings and I say, I need this by this date, and nothing happens. And then sometimes something happens, but it's not what I said. So I've realized what happens is there's a James who I tell things to, but he's not actually the executive James, because in his head he has another James who then countermands everything I've said. So if I say, James, can you please send me this by Thursday, 9 o'clock? Then executive James climbs in and goes, no, don't do it by 11 o'clock Thursday. Do it on Friday at 12. So I'm like, now I ask him, I just go, am I talking to executive James or to normal James?
Oh, God.
All right, so you got 9 right and you got 7 wrong. That's not so bad.
You pretty passed. Good, I say.
Yeah, well done. Oh, very nice. Okay, I know you are probably going to have to head off to work soon, but I want you to say how's it to Roger Rax. You want to say how's it?
How's it?
Yeah, here he is. Hey, Rog, how are you, man?
How's it, my bud? How are you?
Lucky to see you. How's it? Yeah, you how are you? You good?
I'm good, thanks. I just hope you don't have to ask me those questions, but I don't know who one of those people were.
I'm getting really? Not one?
I'm so glad.
I'm getting 0 out of 100.
Don't worry, I'm not going to test you on any of that shit. You're safe. You're safe. All right, so listen, I got a lot to talk to you about, so I wanted you to say hello to Leanne. She's also from the South, hey?
Is Leanne the lady in the next to me?
This one, yeah, right here. Let me put her on the screen. There we go. That's okay, Leanne. That's her from the South.
I saw the name S. That's what I was waiting. Lee S. Mole. How are you doing, Leanne?
Yeah. There you go.
I am Roger. I was born in the East, but very much grew up in the South, and I was a Glen Vista girl. So yeah, nice to meet you in person.
You too. You too. Thank you. Glen Vista's still rocking. It's still lekker. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my neighbor. Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
All right, ass. Cheers. Sure. So, Rog, tell me what's up, going guys? On with you, man. I of course,
your
for people who don't know,
or something.
Oh, shit! Sorry. Am I on mute? No, I shouldn't be on mute. Can you hear me now? Roger?
Can you still-
seems when we lost ass, we lost sound for Roger. We'll try and get him back. James, just tell him to come back in on the link. Obviously, when Leanne left, something changed. So Roger, for those who don't know, is a Joburg-based food content creator, among other things. He posts under @Roger_Rax on TikTok as well. He does street food reviews. He does restaurant discovery. He visits shops occasionally. But mostly the reason I got interested in some of the stuff that Roger does is he's almost an on-the-spot reporter. He finds interesting stories that really no one else is covering. And then he tells us about that from Bessonia, City Deep, the south of Joburg. So all that stuff is what he does. So I'm going to try and bring him back up here. Rog, you there? Oh. Okay, hang on. I've got the wrong one. There are now 2 Roger Raxes. Can I put him on, James? Let me try this. There we go. You're on.
Yeah, cool. I know what happened
there. Can you hear me?
Okay.
So I was just saying, I was giving everybody a bit of background. You were on the show a year ago, actually.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We checked the calendar. It's been a whole year. So listen, the thing that caught my eye the other day is you said that you had reliable information that there was some kind of UFO over Joburg.
Yeah, so I got a video clip from my mate, actually, funny enough.
Yeah?
He gets all the credit for the video, not me. And I just did the video for him, made it a bit spooky and whatnot, but we actually have more footage coming out, like an inverted. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay, cool, because I only see myself here. We got another video that I was supposed to release back then, but I've been busy, of like an inverted, I don't know what you call it, but you know where they changed the filter and whatnot, so you can actually see what's happening more clearly. And before I posted that video, I made a joke, and I said, I'm the ambassador for the aliens, but I really feel like I am. Like, no one in Joburg or even in South Africa is actually talking about it, but it's no longer, back then, like, if we were talking about this a year ago, they'd call us crazy, they'd call us conspiracy theorists, but now you can literally, the White House, the Pentagon, everyone's talking about it, so we're not so crazy anymore, you know, this. But there's a lot to it. I think there's more to it than just aliens, if you know what I mean. Just my own personal...
Okay, so I just need to know a couple of details because I only know about this from you.
Yeah.
Where in Joburg was this alien craft spotted, and how long ago was this?
So I can't, it's a funny name, I know it's in four ways. If I go back to my mate's chat, I can give you like the accuracy.
It's somewhere in four ways.
I'd also like to give him a shout out. His name's Warwick. He gave the footage. I don't want to take any credit for it. I just did the video. Yeah, he was having a brawl with his wife and looked up in the sky. They thought he saw Superman, but he saw something a lot cooler. So that's what happened.
Okay, so you've got footage of this which you've shared on your channel, but describe it for people who haven't seen it yet. What kind of shape this thing was, how fast it moved, whether it had colors.
Through the camera of the cell phone, it was just like a little dot. You know, it looks like a spotlight, but it can't be a spotlight that's out of space, if that makes sense. And at first I thought it was a plane. They were talking about it being a plane. Then it started. It wasn't moving. That's the scary part. It was like standing still. It was flashing a certain normal white light. And then eventually started changing colors and flashing all over the place. And then it just disappeared out of nowhere.
Okay, I'm going to let people see the clip. So I've actually got the clip here. Let's just play that for everybody. And if you want to follow Roger, he's Roger_Rax on TikTok. And then, of course, he's on Instagram as well. We'll put all the links in the description of this episode. But take a look. Here's the kind of stuff he's doing that no one else is doing.
What the fuck's he flashing?
The following footage was taken in Chartwell Four Ways on the 21st of July by a mate of mine from Green Gorilla. And the reason I'm bringing this to your attention is because this is 100% legit. And with all the shit going on in the world today on the news surrounding UFOs and aliens and planets and things happening in the sky, this could literally be anything. But I'm bringing it to your attention. I'm not editing the video in any way. I'm not even putting music in the background. This is 100% legit. You can even hear their reactions. I want you guys in the comment section to let me know what you think it is. Your honest answers, opinions, especially if you know. And share this with your friends. Maybe one of them know. Let's get it out there because something's definitely happening in the sky. Don't tell me that's a light bulb here.
Next.
Not sure.
Oh, it's a plane.
What the fuck's he flashing? That's not normal.
Not.
Nah.
All right. I mean, that's phenomenal. So what did you get from people in comments? What did they all say?
A lot of people obviously don't know what. That's why I said I want to be the ambassador here. Local people don't believe in aliens. They think it's a spotlight. They think it's a plane. Some are saying it's an orb. Some are saying it's a Starlink, which it could be. I mean, it could be. No one really knows what it is, you know. It's just obviously the way the video was filmed makes me believe it's above the sky. You know, so that's what gives me the UFO feeling. And the way when I was watching the video then, I noticed it did actually move a little bit. It was just like a millimeter, basically. And I don't think you finished the video. It just disappears. You know, so...
No. I want people to go and see it on your channel. So we didn't play the whole thing, but...
Yeah, so it just disappears
What kind of response did that get? Did were there thousands of people who responded?
Very, very well. It got like across the board, I'd say closing on about 300,000 to 350,000 views.
Wow.
A lot of people and a shit ton of comments. People are still commenting till today. Still, it's like an active thing for them, you know. A lot of people are saying there's a lot of conspiracy theorists who are all turning out to be right these days, but there's a lot of them in the comment section talking about Project Bluebeam, talking about the Great Deception, which I also think that's what I'm guessing it is, the Great Deception that the Bible speaks about. There's a lot of things that people are talking. Everyone has their own opinion on it, and that's what makes it fun, you know. It's not just everyone saying, okay, this is a spotlight.
What's your opinion on aliens? You think they're real? You think that we are alone in the universe? Do you think that they are they're angels? Do you think that they might be dangerous or good? Do you have any thoughts on this?
I do. Just remember, you invited me on your show here. So long story short, I think if you know the universe, Earth is one of the smallest planets in the entire universe. So I don't believe that we're alone. That wouldn't make sense to me, at least. I do believe that aliens, I don't think aliens themselves exist, like in the form we think, you know, ET or whatever the case may be. I do believe that there is a great deception coming, and I believe this is a part of it. So something along the line of fallen angels, nobody knows what they look like. And I mean, yeah, according to the Bible, and I'm a Bible-believing Christian, according to the Bible, they can take many shapes and forms, you know, they have to deceive you. So they can come as a cute little alien, but I think demons, fallen angels, that's my take on it. You know, and okay, obviously I joke around about being the mayor, but I want Fockle to do these oats for me. But long story short, yeah, long story short, I'll bring the news to the South Africans if I have to do it.
No, we call you the mayor of the South. On this show, you are the mayor of the South, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, no, there I'm the mayor, I'm alien mayor.
So listen, I mean, do you reckon that if this stuff isn't just a conspiracy, you know, and the US government, and we've heard so much stuff about Roswell in New Mexico, and they recovered bodies of aliens, and there's some people who think they've actually got living aliens at some of these secret US bases, and that those guys have helped them to develop these extraordinary aircraft, like the, you know, these bomber aircraft that they've developed, the stealth aircraft. If that stuff's not true, and if let's say you are closer to the truth with a connection to the Bible and fallen angels and all that, do you think that these creatures are here to do us harm, or do you think they're here to help us?
So I think eventually they're going to do us harm. Right now they need to deceive you, so they can't harm you right now. And I think it fits exactly the same. A lot of the technology we're starting to see, especially if you like one of the folks who sit and Google. Like Mr. Beast released a video the other day talking about how they're bringing the dead back, they're bringing dinosaurs back, using fossils, they're bringing, like, these all types of things that I don't think humanity themselves could do. Maybe I'm wrong, but, like, it's just my own opinion. I think there's like, a greater power at hand, you know, a greater mind, at least, and also what you said.
And maybe that greater power is sending these things to stop us from going too far and from causing huge trouble in the universe, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so there was a movie that released, funny enough, now recently called Disclosure Day, that Steven Spielberg released. And he actually, he touted it as a documentary more than a movie. Because now, he said in the 90s, I used to say, wouldn't it be great if all of these things turned out to be true? Today, he's stating that it's so great that all of this actually is true. So he's pretty much telling you that what you're about to watch in this movie is really happening. And all the things you just spoke of with Roswell and hiding bodies and all of that was all in the movie. And at the end of the movie, they actually showed the world. It's called Disclosure Day. They showed the world an alien. So we're waiting on that. And there's a lot of speculation that that still might happen eventually. And that's when I believe the Great Deception is going to happen, Robert. Because in the movie, you see people questioning their faith. You know, if these things are real, then maybe those are the supreme beings that everyone's calling God, which is nonsense, you know, because they created something that, they created the pyramids, they created, it's really something deep. I don't think we have enough time to get into it, but I'm right down that rabbit hole.
I find this stuff fascinating because I'm not, I don't think we have the answers, and I think that there probably is quite a lot that we are not told, but I don't believe that even the smartest people in the US government really know enough about all of this. And there's a dimension that comes into play here that has to do with the fact that the universe is so enormous, right? So if the possibility of there being no other life at all in this enormous universe is practically zero, there's got to be something. It might not look like any of the life we find on Earth. It might not be carbon-based. It might not have biology in the sense that we understand it. But there's got to be other stuff out there. And the distances are so vast that it makes it improbable that we would ever meet other kinds of living creatures. But if you think about how far humanity's evolved in just the last 100 years, the things that we've been able to achieve in just 100 years, if you had a civilization or an organism that had spent, you know, millions of years developing somewhere else, it's entirely possible that the technological advances of whatever that organism might be would put them in a position to be able to do extraordinary things like travel through space and time and be able to visit planets like ours. I mean, we're still a way off from doing that, but that's what Elon's trying to do with Mars, for God's sake, right?
Yeah. So also another thing that you mentioned, like the fact that the universe is so big, so great, so vast, the probability of us ever seeing any other species is almost impossible. Unless that's another thing that I was onto. Unless that species was meant to come here to deceive us, correct?
Yeah. Well, perhaps. Yeah, so, I mean, so Skorg in the comments says, it's a DJI drone, man. Red lights and green lights tell you the direction the drone is flying. Spotlights are normal on them.
So, like I said, it could be. But, I mean, that's another big one. DJI drone, everyone's talking about that. That's why okay. I want to release the inverted footage soon, so that you guys can see that it looks a little bit different when you release that. Because you actually see like a small dot and a bigger dot behind it. Small dot, bigger dot behind it. It's a bit weird.
So Derek says here, why four ways though? And this is something I thought. If I'm coming from other worlds and I'm trying to catch a glimpse of Earth, I think I'd find something more exciting than looking at four ways.
I think it is because worried because they're having a lack of bra, bro. And I think those things are hungry. That's why they're flashing at him. They're like telling him, I want some, bro. But then he started swearing on camera. That thing fucked off.
A four ways but alien. Can you imagine that? They'd be very aggressive, wouldn't they?
Telling you, bro.
Yeah. So Goon says reptilians rule the world through the Thought the Atlantean built the pyramids. His spaceship is under the Sphinx. Wait and see.
I was just thinking of Atlantis. I was just thinking about it. This beautiful. A very with advanced technology under the sea. You ever heard of Atlantis? The city under the sea. That could also be if it was ever true, which we don't know, then that's definitely alien because we're talking millions, thousands and millions of years ago with technology that we haven't even got today. You know, so that could be something. I was thinking about Atlantis before he just mentioned it in the comments. There's a lot to this.
Yeah, I don't doubt it, and I'm kind of amazed that it happened in four ways. But you know, stranger things have happened. I mean, why do aliens seemingly always pop up in these shit places? They're always in, you know, like some outback hick part of country America, or they go to four ways and they go to four ways. They don't appear above the Union buildings. Not that anyone's going to find any intelligence there. They don't appear in front of the White House. They always go to these places where they're these. Was nothing happening.
We might benefit if they go to those places, eh? They can give some intelligence. But
I mean, are you a little bit pissed off that they didn't come to the South?
Definitely. Well, they're coming, bro. I told you, I'm the ambassador. They're coming. They have to give like little signs before people think I'm nuts when they actually show up. They're going to sit you on my couch, bro. You know, we're going to talk. But I'm actually happy that they're coming to South Africa. Everything happens in America, bro. We get nothing. Yeah. Everything's in America. So now there's something to talk about at least. So even if it is a DJ order, I'll just pretend it's not, you know. Let's have fun.
All right. Because this is just one of the things that you've been doing lately. I like the fact that you're also covering this. The food stuff is fantastic, though. What new exciting shit have you discovered in the world of food?
No, not much. But to be honest, I'm actually secretly, without telling everyone, I'm actually trying to lose weight. As you can see, I've...
Uh-huh.
So I've been like cutting down a lot of food. There's obviously the pantry that I've been going to, Racha and Bosonia.
Yeah.
The pantry. So
it's interesting you bring up the pantry. I went to the one in Pretoria for the first time the other day, and it's the first time I've ever been into one of these. And obviously, you know, David Hicks, one of the brains behind the pantry, was on the show a couple of months ago, and he's a very, very brilliant guy. Also,
he was on the show right after me.
Yeah, he's terrific. That's correct. It was on the same day.
And
his, you know, Marble, Saint, those places are just flying in Joburg in Sandton.
Yeah, the food's different quality.
But that the pantry, dude, I bought a bread at the one in Pretoria because we had like a family supper the next night. And it was Bitcoin Butt, who makes his own bread, he's in the comments, he's going to be upset with me. This is easily one of the best breads I've ever had in my life. I don't know what they did to it. I don't know. They must have some magic formula that they use, but they made it. It was fresh. I took it home. It was still warm.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. Everything from the pantry is like that. They got an olive loaf. They got an olive loaf bread that they make. That's very that's incredible. Their burgers, their burrows rolls, it just everything tastes different, bro. I'm being dead serious. Like everything's just different there. we should wonder about that, actually, if I'm being honest. But lately, I've been more into doing cooking videos at home. You know, I deal a lot with meat traders online. They like, for me personally, my new favorite butcher. I'm more into the gambling scene a bit now. With
What are you doing? Online gambling.
Yeah, so like slots and whatnot. I'm more like an ambassador for those folks too. So I play quite a bit and I advertise what I do, when I win, when I lose, what, you know. So I've been more into there than the food things. But I still do the food reviews when I got enough points saved, because I'm on a calorie deficit, which means I eat throughout the week, and at the end of the week what I got left, I incorporate my cheat meal into that. If I have enough for a pizza, I'd go have a pizza or a burger and chips, and I put it on camera, you know, at a new spot or something like that.
What what weight are you looking to get to? What do you weigh at the moment? How much do you need to lose?
No. Listen, I'm not going to disclose that, guys. Just very unhealthy.
Yeah. Oh, come on. It's not embarrassing.
I'll tell you what, and I'm not afraid to say, when I was last in your show, I was about maybe 120.
Yeah.
I've crossed the border of 150 now.
Shit, dude. So you've been eating some cool stuff, and I mean, it's part of your
job. That's the reason. In some way,
you've got an excuse. You're allowed. The rest of us aren't allowed because we're not doing food reviews like you are.
Exactly. So that's the thing. I had to put my social media on pause to fix my life up quickly. You know what I mean? And well, it's working.
Why don't we? You know, I'm proud of you, dude. Well done. And listen, everybody's fighting that fight, eh? Whether they, no matter how good you think they look, I've got friends, and there's this one girl I know. She's in magnificent shape. She looks fantastic. She's perfect. But she is in a constant battle to like keep the fat away. So everybody's fighting something. And good for you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. And I know that firsthand because one of my closest mates, named Luke Backus, he's chiseled like a Greek god. I'm not even joking, bro. And if anyone deserves a day off, it's him. And I can tell you what, come snow, come rain, come aliens, that out in the gym, bro. I'm not joking.
So are you training as well as not eating everything?
Well, no, so at the moment I'm just doing the kitchen work. Later I'll go, because I did try. In January I started training. I got a bit of an injury, which was actually stupid because it was something that I did in the past. But it turns out that maybe I'm not physically ready for gym. I do exercise at home and I'm trying to eat better. But besides for that, no gym right now. I think when I drop back down to where I was when I was by yourself, I'll go to gym again.
Yeah, and you don't want to hurt yourself because that'll set you back even more.
Exactly, yeah. And at this age, bro, apparently once you get hurt, it never changes. You stay that way.
Yeah. So listen, tell me. We all have got to know you now. You've been on the show twice, and we'll have you anytime you've got something else you want to share with us, because I love what you do. But
thank you.
A lot of people are interested in your life and kind of what you do the rest of the time, and family and friends. Like, give us a bit of a taste of your life, Roger X.
My life has become it's just normal. I still work for Upper Paint.
Yeah.
I go to work, do our job, come home. Looking after my daughter still, so got to get her ready.
Yes.
Still got my ill mom. Nothing's changed like that. And
right.
Family, we hardly see each other, bro. I'm going to be honest with you. I was actually speaking to one of my cousins yesterday. I said to him, we need to make plans because we don't see each other anymore. None of my family, you know. I think since COVID, this has happened. I think it's happened to a lot of people, not just me. But it is something that I want to remedy. I want to work on it. But one thing I will say is that I went through a phase a little bit earlier this year where I hit, I don't know, like a breaking point. I think I was overworking myself. And mentally, I just lost it. I didn't even want to make content anymore. I didn't care. People are saying, you know, how many people wish to be in your position? And I was just like, fuck it. I can't do this anymore. 3 months, bro. If I made two videos a week, it was too much. I really went through a bad phase. And then coming back, I'm back to where I was. Making content all the time, enjoying it, loving it again. What I've noticed coming back is, and this is something maybe you can help me with. They say when you've got a lot of haters, you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when I came on your show last time, everyone loved me. There were maybe 5 people who hated me on social media. But now that's why it didn't really bother me, because I knew those 5 people. I could name them.
Sure.
But now, for some reason, bro, the hate I'm getting, it's incredible. There's obviously still people who love me, but then there's a whole lot of haters, and specific, like they won't come on for a specific reason. You know, like if someone comes on and says, for instance, you're a bad father, I can understand why they hate you. But an uncle posted a picture, an AR picture of me looking like a house and saying, F you and fucking, you know, they're just looking for ways to be haters, bro. And it doesn't make sense to me, but I just feel like maybe I'm in the right direction and that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, this is a sign. I'm sorry to have to spoil this for the haters, but the fact that there are actually people who are taking time to generate AI images of you and say shit things about you, think about the fact that these people are now spending time on you. You don't even know who they are, and they're taking time out of their day. They are either bored or they're so obsessed with you that they're taking time out of their day to think about you and to create content about how much they hate you. That's insane. You are taking up rental space in their head. So as much as it's horrible, and this is the dark side of being a content creator, right? So if you are successful, there are going to be lots of people who really don't like you. Even though you've done nothing to them, they don't have a relationship with you, you've probably never met half of them, and they hate you because they're filling their lives up with whatever is closest to them. And the fact that you've got close enough to them for them to care enough to hate you is a sign of success. It's not a sign of failure. Don't let it get you down, bro. Really.
No, 100%. Thanks, dude. Well, that's something honestly, that I wanted to get off my chest because I can't understand it. But anyway, that made me feel a lot better. Thank you.
And Roger, not everybody is going to like you. The people who,
thank
especially
you,
in the era, in the era,
thank you,
yeah, in the era of social media and, you know, with people creating content, and soon AI will be doing most of that, and you'll be bombarded by just tons and tons of AI generated bullshit.
Yeah.
The fact that we live in this time means that you can connect to millions of people all over the world. I mean, this alien video of yours with 300,000 views is just, that's tremendous. It shows you couldn't fit 300,000 people into the biggest stadium in South Africa, right?
100%.
So the fact that you've made something that five stadiums full of people have seen is tremendous. That would never have been possible before. You would have had to have a TV show. You would have had to be a movie star or a singer or something like that on the international stage to reach that kind of an audience. It's tremendous to me that you can do this stuff from your house, from where you go out at night, talking about the things that happen in your life. And you develop a following, you know, people who I found you, for God's sake, on social media. And to me, this is entertaining stuff that you're doing. Don't let the miserable people who have shit things to say get you down, really.
Thanks, my brother. So another video that I posted 2 weeks ago, a quick one before we go. My daughter was watching a YouTube video and just, you know, normal stuff. And I started getting this chanting, kill, 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 kill. So I noticed that I took the phone from her to check it out, and there was like demonic symbols on the screen. It's a Minecraft game with the words, it just keeps repeating, kill, 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 kill. And I posted that video to warn people, you know, watch what your kids watch. And that video reached, I think it's across the board, it's over 1 million, I know that. But I'm talking just on TikTok, it's on like 700,000 views now. And I'm not, you know, I'm trying to help people if I do something like that. Like, pay attention to what your kids watch in a nice way. Throughout 90% of the comments, you're a terrible father. This is your fault. You don't pay attention. And I'm like, fuck it, maybe I shouldn't just keep my mouth shut.
So, I mean, obviously, when you get into the stuff around parenting, no parent in the world is 100% right, and nobody is 100% evil, right? Everybody has something to say about how someone else raises their child. But the fact that you found this stuff, that you were checking and you saw this on the screen and you stopped it, and then you decided you're going to share it with other people because there might be other parents who don't know about this stuff, you're doing more than whoever it was who called you a shit father.
So that's what I thought. Like, I was trying to help people. I mean, I heard it. Some people might be leaving their kid downstairs watching whatever that is, and that's going to, you know, you're going to get a psychopath when he's a teenager.
What's your policy with your daughter and social media? And I mean, how old is she now? And does she have her own?
Yeah, she's got her own phone and she's got a little game console. She plays Roblox, but I choose the games that she plays. And okay. she's got a phone with YouTube Kids and YouTube. The reason being, she doesn't like YouTube Kids, but she finds it too childish. So I allow her to go on YouTube, and I try and pay attention wherever I can. You know, she only goes on for an hour a day anyway, Bruce. But I mean, if I wasn't such like a good father, or at least trying, I wouldn't have heard that sound going on and all of those
things. Yeah. No, yeah, dude, I think that's good. Check. Yeah, for every hater, there's someone who likes you. Here's Moondancer. Loving this guy. He's great.
Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you, bro.
And then Carl DeSantos, Roger, just tell them to eat a dick. Fuck them. Chin up.
It's exactly this. Thank you, Carl. I appreciate you, bro.
Sade, Roger that. Huh?
Roger that. Okay.
Bitcoin Boots says they hate us. They hate us because they anus. I think this is great. What you're doing is fantastically funny. Sometimes it's hugely interesting. I wouldn't have known about aliens in four ways if it wasn't for you. And you must definitely update us as the story develops, if anything else gets seen. Because this is how people figure shit out now. They're not going to get it from a newspaper. Nobody reads those.
Social media. So now, that's what I was actually considering doing, that, like, reading into everything that sounds interesting, something that people would maybe want to hear. I want to first fact check it. I want to post duck. I want to fact check it, and then I want to make content on it. You know, you never know, bro. You never know what's coming. I mean, the world's gone crazy. Everyone's gone nuts. So let's go nuts with them.
All right, Roger Rex, what a pleasure to see you again, dude. And we'll catch up with you soon. Follow Roger. He's on at Roger Rex on TikTok. There's an underscore between Roger and Rex, and you can follow all the other stuff we'll put in the comments and in the description
appreciate
of the video.
You, thank you so much.
Be good, man. Stay strong. Hey, says Carl. There we go.
Shot, Carl. Appreciate it, my guy. God bless. Okay, you guys can kick me. I don't know how to get off of this. Shot, Gareth. Have a lack of.
Thanks, dude. What a great guy. Love him. Roger Rex. Fantastic. you know, this social media thing, we're still trying to figure it out, right? I reckon we'll only know in like 10 years' time. It's still going to be a while. What kind of bad stuff this has done to us in the long term, what it's done to us as a species. I went out for dinner a while ago and I looked around at the table because I arrived early, and I looked at all the tables around me and I saw people sitting with each other, like couples, or I don't know if they were on a date or whatever, where both the people were sitting there with their phones like this and looking at the screens while they're sitting opposite each other. And I think, you know, if people never spoke to each other at a table, you'd think, oh, there's a problem there. But it's so much worse if they're actually on their phones, because they haven't run out of things to say to each other. They don't just dislike each other. They so much dislike each other that they have found an alternative thing to do with their time. It really worries me. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what this is going to mean. An interesting story that's in your daily briefing, which would have come out an hour ago. Today, there's some research that's been published in America about gender relations, right? And this is always something we talk about on the show, so it's probably pertinent to bring it up here as well. They did some work on the way women feel about men and the way men feel about women in America. And I'll just read from this quickly because it's kind of sad, fascinating, but it's sad and worth at least thinking about today. So in the Western world, 72% of men under 30 hold a positive view of women. 72%. So by far more than two-thirds, just under three-quarters of men have a very favorable view of women. But only 50% of women under 30 hold a favorable view of men. So that's a 22-point gap between those two. And if you ask women under 25, only 35% of them have a positive view of men, With men, it more or less stays in the 70s, no matter what age. And I'm not saying that women are unkind to men or that women need to improve their view of men only. We've got to kind of work out why in the Western world that has happened, why it seems to be dropping. And it shouldn't be the case that we are growing further apart. If anything, I think men and women need each other more than ever now. And I'd like to see that trend reverse. I'd like to know what that means. If you've got theories about it, maybe we should talk about it on the show. Maybe get some people who've studied this stuff to help us understand exactly what it means. But if you have any bizarre theories about that, hey, let me know. And follow us on the Daily Briefing. Just to let you know, we are rapidly moving towards the subscription. I know I've been promising this for a while. We've done 55 episodes, I think, Janine told me. So it's close to 55 episodes. And we've already been well within the top five of South Africa's news podcasts since we started. We reached, I think, the number two spot. I haven't checked for a little while, but we're doing really well there. And thank you to everybody who's checked it out. If you haven't yet, then please do. We've got some amazing stuff happening there, and we're going to be doing bonus content as well once the subscription starts. Also, if you are watching our drive-bys, which are the little videos that we do during the week, those seem to be getting a lot of attention. The one this week about what trends that are going on in society do you think we'll be embarrassed about in a few years' time? Some amazing answers. A lot of them fashion-related, a lot of them hairstyle-related, a lot of them Crocs and wearing slops with socks related. I think those things have been embarrassing from the get-go. So I don't know if they're new trends, but go and join in on that conversation too. And have an awesome long weekend. We will be back with a Daily Briefing on Tuesday, and we'll be back with this show on Friday. But enjoy Women's Day on Sunday, and make sure you take the day off and relax and spend some time with people you really like on Monday. We will catch you later. Ciao, everybody. Bye.